This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 425 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week, where airstrikes and massacres continued across all areas of the coastal enclave. Last week, the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza reported that since the beginning of this genocide in October 2023, more than 1,400 families have been completely wiped out and erased from the civil registry, and more than 3,400 families have only one survivor left. The United Nations says that after 14 months of strikes and shelling, Gaza now has the highest number of child amputees per capita anywhere in the world. Many of these children have lost limbs and undergone surgery without anesthesia and have no access to rehabilitation services to cope with the life-altering injuries caused by this war, the UN says. In North Gaza, Israel's campaigns of systematic slaughter, destruction, and starvation is now in its ninth week. On Monday, the Gaza government media office stated that over the last 60 days of the ethnic cleansing operation in North Gaza, more than 3,700 Palestinians have been killed or are still missing, 10,000 have been wounded, more than 1,700 have been abducted by the Israeli army, and vital sectors have been destroyed. Journalist Anas Al-Sharif noted that, quote, "This is one of the most important streets in Jabalia camp, Al-Huja Street, which was destroyed by Ariel Sharon in the mid-70s and rebuilt by the camp residents. Today, Israel is returning to take revenge, not only on the residents of Jabalia camp, whom it killed and displaced, but also on the trees and stones." Eyewitness testimonies have revealed that up to 650 bodies of Palestinians have been lying in the streets for two consecutive months due to the prevention by the Israeli military of allowing rescue, emergency, and paramedic crews from accessing the bodies, the Gaza government media office stated. Stray dogs have been devouring the bodies scattered in the streets, and the names of those corpses are still unknown. Quote, "The Israeli occupation deliberately continues its aggression in a barbaric, brutal, and planned manner against civilians, safe civilian residential neighborhoods, displacement and shelter centers, and to take revenge on them, displacing tens of thousands of them and forcing them to be displaced from their residential neighborhoods and homes. This crime is considered a crime against humanity as classified by international law. What our Palestinian people are being subjected to in the northern Gaza Strip governorate is unbelievable by reason and logic," the media office added. Bombings in northern Gaza over the past week were reported in Beit Lahia and Jabalia. At least 10 people were killed in Beit Lahia when Israel targeted a home. On Saturday, Gaza's civil defense reported that at least 40 Palestinians were killed and buried in the rubble after Israel bombed a house in Tal al-Zatar. A child was killed by Israeli artillery fire on a school turned into a shelter for displaced people in Jabalia on Monday. In Gaza City, also on Monday, an Israeli airstrike targeted a market and bombed the Sabra neighborhood in a separate attack. While Americans were gathering for Thanksgiving meals on Thursday, November 28th, more than 75 Palestinians, including children, were killed in two separate strikes on residential buildings in Beit Lahia. The Palestinian Civil Defense, which cannot reach the areas due to Israel's access prevention, stated that homes near the buildings are inhabited and their residents may have also been killed or injured, but, quote, "their destiny remains unknown." Also on Thursday, Israel targeted and burned the Auni al-Hartani shelter in North Gaza. Journalist Hossam Shabbat reported that Israel used quadcopter drones to drop the bombs. Another shelter at the Al-Tabayin school in Gaza City was bombed last week, killing at least 9 Palestinians and injuring at least 20 others. In central Gaza, Israeli snipers, drones, helicopters, and naval ships have attacked areas in Deir al-Balah and Nuseirat, according to our contributor, Abu Bakr Abed. Last week, Israel bombed the Al-Nasra Tower in Nuseirat. 9 Palestinians were killed and several others wounded on November 28th in heavy Israeli airstrikes targeting the Nuseirat refugee camp. The assault included intense bombardments north of the camp, preceded by numerous airstrikes in the same area, according to Al-Mayadeen News. Meanwhile, at the Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia in North Gaza, the United Nations reports that an emergency medical team of 6 physicians from the Medical Emergency Rescue Committee in Indonesia was able to reach the hospital as part of a medical mission, delivering a fuel tank and medical supplies. The UN states that the hospital, which now hosts 63 patients, including 9 in the intensive care unit, has been functioning with extremely limited resources. It has also been relentlessly attacked over the last 2 months. Dr. Ahmed Al-Khalout, the director of the intensive care unit at Kamal Adwan, was killed by an Israeli sniper on Friday as he reportedly entered the gate of the hospital. His colleague and the director of the hospital, Dr. Hassam Abu Safia, led burial prayers for Al-Khalout alongside his staff. Dr. Abu Safia himself was injured in a recent Israeli drone attack, as we reported last week, while he walked from the operating room to his office inside the hospital. In October, Abu Safia's son Ibrahim was killed in an Israeli bombing on the hospital grounds. Abu Safia held burial prayers for Ibrahim and buried him in the hospital courtyard. On Tuesday, Abu Safia reported that the hospital had been targeted for the 5th time by Israeli drones dropping bombs filled with shrapnel that injure anyone who dares to move. He said, quote, "This situation is extremely urgent. Kamal Adwan Hospital has been ruthlessly attacked by drones, and once again the occupation is focusing its aggression on medical teams. Just a short while ago, 3 of our medical personnel were injured, one of whom is now in serious condition and undergoing a complex surgical procedure in the operating room. We are exhausted by the ongoing violence. Why are we subjected to such brutality? Each day, the hospital is systematically targeted." Along with the repeated direct targeting of medical personnel and hospital wards, Israel is also blocking medications and basic supplies, as well as deliberately damaging medical equipment. Doctors Without Borders emergency coordinator in Gaza reported this week that, quote, "shortages of critical supplies have reached such levels that we are now forced to turn away patients in some facilities. Restrictions and obstacles to the entry of aid by the Israeli authorities continue to severely hamper our ability to provide care. Meanwhile, the looting of aid trucks within the enclave is making it difficult for that small amount of aid allowed by Israeli authorities to reach those in need. Ultimately, it's the patients who suffer the consequences." The medical aid organization said that at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, basic supplies like gauze and bandages are running out, forcing care providers to extend dressing change intervals and heightening infection risks. Also at Nasser Hospital, Doctors Without Borders says that they have not been able to set up a clinical bacteriology laboratory because the cold chain to operate it has been constantly, quote, "opened and damaged by Israeli officers at the crossing point." In Deir Balah, the organization's field hospital is struggling due to a lack of painkillers and antibiotics, hindering pain management and the treatment of low respiratory infections among children. Food insecurity and starvation continues to envelop the Gaza Strip due to Israel's tightened blockade, collective punishment measures, and direct attacks on food providers. Chef Mahmoud Al-Madhoun, who fed thousands of people every day in North Gaza, including patients at Kamal Adwan Hospital, was targeted and killed in an Israeli drone strike on November 30th as he reportedly stepped outside his home on the way to make food for people at the hospital. Al-Madhoun worked with the Gaza Soup Kitchen, which coordinated food aid efforts in the north. The group issued a statement mourning him and his work. Quote, "We believe he was killed because of his unwavering dedication to solving problems for Kamal Adwan Hospital and ensuring they had whatever they needed. Mahmoud was a lifeline, standing in the way of the ethnic cleansing they are determined to carry out, and they would not allow that to continue." Mahmoud al-Madhoun had 7 children, the youngest only 2 weeks old, and the oldest still in the hospital recovering from critical injuries caused by an Israeli quadcopter, the Gaza Soup Kitchen added. The day before, on November 29th, 2 young girls and 1 woman suffocated to death while in line in large crowds waiting to obtain bread at a bakery in Deir el-Balah, according to the World Food Program, amid severe flour shortages and reduced food distributions due to access constraints and insecurity. The World Food Program said that the lack of food aid and the absence of the commercial sector are driving people into hunger, urging authorities to provide the secure conditions necessary to ensure that humanitarian aid can reach people in need. As of December 3rd, only 5 out of 19 World Food Program-supported bakeries are operational across the Gaza Strip, including 4 in Gaza City and 1 in Khan Yunis. On Sunday, UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, announced that it was pausing aid delivery through the Karmi Abu Salem or Kerem Shalom crossing, citing safety concerns, repeated attacks and looting by armed gangs, and the, quote, ongoing siege, hurdles from Israeli authorities, political decisions to restrict the amounts of aid, lack of safety on the aid routes, and the targeting of local police. In response, the Gaza government media office called on UNRWA to reverse its decision and instead increase the amount of aid and number of aid trucks and to bring them through other crossings. The media office urged the UN agency, quote, not to resort to taking negative measures that threaten the lives of more than 2 million civilians and displaced persons, especially children and women in the Gaza Strip. Israel once again targeted and killed staff of the World Central Kitchen this week. 3 employees of the international group and 2 bystanders were killed when Israel bombed the car they were traveling in on Saturday. In April, Israel killed 7 of their staff members who were driving in a clearly marked convoy. World Central Kitchen announced it was pausing all operations in Gaza as a result of this latest attack, but seemed to give Israel's claims that one of the employees was involved in the October 7th operation the benefit of the doubt. Journalist and filmmaker Leila Al-Aryan, who has been on this program several times, noted on Twitter, quote, as Gaza starves, I am trying to understand the logic behind World Central Kitchen pausing operations. Continuing the starvation of the people of Gaza is presumably the intention behind attacking a record number of aid workers. So pausing operations is exactly what Israel wants. Israel killed at least 2 more journalists this week in Gaza, bringing the number to 192, according to the Gaza government media office. On Saturday, Mamdouh Ibrahim Kuneta was shot in the head in the courtyard of the Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital by an Israeli drone. Kuneta worked as a journalist and editor at the Al-Aqsa TV channel. On Sunday, Maisara Salah was shot and killed by Israeli forces, according to his colleagues at Quds News Network. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of this one by Lubna Ahmed Abu Sitta about how she organized a special day for the nearly 3 dozen 5-year-olds she teaches in a kindergarten in Khan Yunis. Lubna writes, quote, it was World Children's Day, and I figured that even if the world has forgotten Gaza's children, we have not. It's not an official kindergarten, of course. Israel's genocidal aggression on Gaza has seen 95% of Gaza's schools destroyed or damaged, with at least 87% needing significant reconstruction, according to the UN, before they can be used again. No, our kindergarten is a room in a house that was once a home, my grandmother's home, to be exact. It has not escaped damage. Wood and zinc sheets have replaced walls to give shelter from the weather, but the structure is still sound and my grandmother's relatives still live on the 2nd floor. We welcome children from the area only. Parents remain fearful of anything resembling a long journey, so we take who we can from nearby. In this, our imperfect haven, we try to keep a sense of education going for these young children and to provide care for their psychological well-being. All of these kids suffer some trauma or another, One has lost both her parents. Another, Yusuf, has a father who had to have both legs amputated after being injured in a bombing. All of them have lost loved ones. 20 of them have been displaced from their homes elsewhere in Gaza and are now living in tents. I had to make my way to the eastern borders of Khan Yunis, where there is a shop from which I could buy some canned foods, sugar, and flour. I paid from my personal savings, money I had set aside over years of hard work. I prepared simple treats, thyme pastries, savory meat pies, and some cheese pastries, and my brother arranged with a nearby baker to have them freshly baked at 8 a.m. so the children could savor them warm when they came. I also made some sweets and gave them to the children as little gifts. I had tried to find toys for them, but none were available in local markets that barely carry basic food supplies, let alone anything non-essential. I woke up early to prepare the classroom. I hung colorful drawings, posters about children's rights, and a map of Palestine on the classroom wall. I set up supplies on the tables, played uplifting music, and created a special corner with a decorated wooden frame in which the kids could be photographed. As they arrived, I greeted them one by one with a smile and a hug. Their laughter boomed around the room where they had discovered the treats, the pastries, and the festive decorations. We sat together, joking and playing, capturing countless beautiful moments that will forever be etched in my heart. My students are young souls who deserve nothing but joy. They should not have to bear the weight of war on their innocent hearts. Those are excerpts from Lubna Ahmed Abu Sitta's feature, The Children the World Forgot, on electronicintifada.net. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing defiance and resilience in the face of Israel's campaigns of destruction. Photographer Mahmoud Abu Hamda took this image of a girl on a swing. Abu Hamda states, quote, "I saw this swing on a sand hill as I was on my way back from documenting the conditions of displaced people due to the weather storm. I climbed the hill, and before I began documenting the scene, I took a moment to enjoy the happiness of the children and their laughter that filled the place." And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.